going on, everybody? Welcome to this week's episode of Canucks Corner, presented by Puck and Flamingo. If you're watching the video, you will notice that there is a special member of our team missing at this moment. Yeah, I know, big pouty face. So we had some scheduling errors, but look, we're going to do our best to get Steve's opinion on this matter because we all love Steve's opinion. But for now, we're going to get Zach's, which is just as important. And how are you, first of all, buddy? Good?
I'm doing good. I'm pretty wiped today. We're starting a new bigger project, and being that we just had the stat yesterday, we're a little bit behind. So it's it's been trying to play catch up, but you know, I'm not complaining. I'm back to work. So it's but I haven't had much time to do much homework. I've just been trying to catch up on the games that are going on tonight. And yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, watching your fantasy team like a hawk. Oh, I saw you already made a move today, didn't you?
I did. Well, who was it? Oh, because what is it? McKinnon there went down with COVID symptoms. So I had to make a quick replacement at my center position. It doesn't look like it's going to be doing too well. I think I'm shooting pretty low on games played for this week in our head to head. This is my first time doing head to head, so I'm excited about it. But playing,
yeah, it's so much fun. Get ready for the troops.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. Like we just used to do season totals in my other ones. So it's different with head to head. I'm trying to figure out how to balance the games per week and everything. It'll be fun though.
Yeah, man. It's wicked. I made a big error, so I missed the last two rounds. Mm-hmm. And I had a family dinner I had to go to. So they auto drafted like backup goalie and Voracek, who's now playing in Columbus. Otherwise would have been great. Right. But anyway, so I had to make two quick roster moves. I had to drop them, pick up two guys I really actually wanted. And then I also put someone on IR and picked up a defenseman. So I used my three moves for the week. And now I noticed Matthews and Gensel are not playing this week. So,
Brutal.
And I have no one to replace them.
man, that's brutal. In two of my leagues, just one of them, actually, I had to auto draft for Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah. But man, they drafted me Ben Bishop, who's still on the IR, and fucking Evander Kane, who's never going to play in the league again. Brutal. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like, I could not believe it. Although, you know what? I've got a pretty good story from one of the leagues. One of my buddies who fancies himself quite the hockey aficionado. Well, this is blown apart now by this. He thought he was pulling a quick one on us and drafted in the third round Evgeny Svechnikov from the Winnipeg Jets, not realizing it wasn't Andre Svechnikov. So he drafted an AHLer with his third round pick. And we have been absolutely lighting him up in the group chat because, he talks the most shit. And then he goes and drafts Evgeny Svechnikov. And just, it was the best thing. It took us until about round seven to realize what had happened. And then, then the group chat just blew up. It's like, you idiot. So anyway, that's so been a funny, pretty good highlight. It was great. So I'm pretty stoked though. I love the fantasy draft weekends. It's like one of my favorite weekends of the year. Drives my wife absolutely nuts, but it's worth it.
Fair enough, yeah. No, it's great, and I love head-to-head. You're gonna have fun this year for sure.
I think so too. It's looking like it's got a little bit more a little bit tougher. There's a whole new layer to it, so I'm excited about it.
Yeah, it definitely makes it interesting. Anyways, enough about fantasy. This is not a fantasy podcast, although that would be a cool one.
Once in a while we could throw it in too. I mean, if people want to hear about it.
It's true. We have a Puck and Flamingo fantasy team, so that's fair.
There we go.
So on today's order, so the first thing we're gonna talk about is actually I saw today, I think Besser is traveling with the team. There, the Canucks go on a road trip to start the year.
Yeah.
And actually JT Miller said he loved it because of last year being unable to go for beers with the boys, and you know, if you end up in Vegas or whatever. So this year, so he thinks it's a great way to start the year, so the guys can kind of get back together and go out and do normal things again, and bond, which is pretty sweet.
Yep. Well, I mean, I've heard of that from other kind of talking heads in the NHL, that actually a road trip to start the season can be pretty beneficial. I mean, I don't know if we're talking about, I think it's I think the Islanders are 13 games away from their home barn to start the year. And then I know Seattle has a lengthy one too, because they're finishing up work on the Climate Pledge Arena. But I mean, that's probably excessive, but I imagine that a road trip to start the year would be good. It's just the team on the road. They're bonding. So
yeah,
I'm excited about it, man. Like, you know, we've talked about it a lot. I'm super excited for the Canucks this year.
Yeah. Yeah. It has been a hot topic.
Yeah.
Actually, back to fantasy. One of the boys there was really excited about the Canucks. He drafted like four of them.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm that excited.
You know what? One of my leagues I drafted, I think I got Garland, Demko, and Hughes. So I did draft three Canucks on one team, but they, you know, Garland happened to fall to me at a low pick. So I was pretty excited with that. But yeah. I mean, I'm excited too.
Maybe I'll hit him up for one Canuck. I wouldn't mind one, but having a team full of them, that's scary.
It is, for sure.
Just PTSD, I think.
Well, as a Canuck fan, we're used to the pain.
Yeah. So, anyways, let's talk about. So actually, another thing I saw today is Chiasson. Chiasson got a contract.
Yeah, $750K. Turn that PTO into a contract. So I think that's great. Sweet. I think that's a good depth signing.
Yeah, Green was saying that, you know, there's not a lot of guys that he said it's easy. This is not a direct quote, but he said it's easy to say, you know, get in front of the net, stand in front of the net. But it takes a special kind of person to do that. First of all, it takes a lot of guts.
Yep.
To stand in front of one timers. And then he's really good at it. So there's yep. that.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, again, with guys like Brandon Sutter being announced having what sounds like COVID long haul, you know, he's not going to be with the team for a while. So I think any kind of depth, any veteran guys like that, I mean, I think that's great.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, I was just caught in a Google there.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. So let's talk about a bit about the division. Sure. What do you think? I know we've both been pretty busy. We're going to do a bit of a breakdown. So I got this from Sportsnet. Now the top two, there's five different guys that gave their opinion on this, the Pacific mm-hmm. division. Each five agreed on one thing, two things. That's that Vegas is going to finish first and Edmonton's going to finish second. And then after that, it's kind of a toss up where they land. I see Calgary. I see Vancouver. I also saw a hot pick prediction that Vancouver finishes first in the Pacific. So that could be something to look for. I don't think so, but maybe.
Yeah.
The thing is, we really haven't seen this team yet. I mean,
that's true.
Our top six is, I guess there's one new player, but still that changes everything.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, even you look at our top nine, I think there's been a lot of movement in there. Not just that, but yeah, I mean, I know we've talked about it before as far as a well-rounded offense. And I do think that's going to be one of the keys to Vancouver this year. We all know that Edmonton is extremely top heavy. Now, they did add Zach Hyman, who, going back to fantasy, I fucking stole him in our league at the 12th round. I don't know what you guys were thinking, but... I nice. Snagged him. But anyway, yeah, so Hyman, I think, is a good injection with the Oilers, but they're still such a top-heavy team. Vegas lacks center depth. I think that's pretty well known. I mean, they brought in Nolan Patrick, but other than that, it's William Karlsson and then Chandler Stephenson, who on a winning Stanley Cup team, I don't think you'd want Chandler Stephenson as your second centerman. Yeah. So I don't know. I think that the Canucks have a really well-rounded top nine, especially. They may have given up a little bit of size by, you know, waiving Noah Gajewicz and him getting picked up on waivers by the Sharks. But we've still got guys like Zach MacEwen in the lineup, guys who can crash and bang a little bit. But I do think we have a really well-rounded top nine this year. And I think that's going to really serve us well.
Yeah, I said top six and I meant top nine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Even like... I mean, I'm looking at Daily Faceoff, which has changed again. Obviously, it's been changing all preseason. Yep. I saw one. I can't remember where I found it now on Sportsnet, I think, probably. But anyways, so they here on Daily Faceoff, they have JT Miller on the left wing with Elias Pettersson and Alex Chiasson on the right wing.
That's probably only because Besser's out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So... And then second line, you have Tanner Pearson, Bo Horvat, Connor Garland. Okay. Third line, Matthew Highmore, Jason Dickinson, and Nils Höglander. That's three solid lines that you could shuffle around in a lot of different ways.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, once Besser comes back, obviously, he'll slide into that right wing slot. I read an article saying that if they want to have more depth across three lines, you know, you could easily drop JT to the second line center, put Bo on the third line center, or and then slide Dickinson over to the wing kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that would really give you a 1-2-3. I mean, a big 1-2-3. But anyways, that'll obviously be up to Travis. I know you didn't agree with that last time we spoke, but having Bo on the third line, but I mean,
I wouldn't be against it, though. Again, if it's just that Lotto line has been so potent in the past that having Miller, Petey, and Besser when he's healthy on that top line, I just think that packs such an offensive punch. And then even like the way I'm looking at, I just pulled up Daily Faceoff right now too, actually. And with them having Pod Colson slotted in right now in the fourth line.
Yeah.
I would look to see, you know, even though it's changing wings, like to have maybe Höglander switch over to the left, Vasily Pod Colson move up on the right wing on that third line. And then again, like the thing that's kind of messing up a little bit is, as we had talked about with Brendan Sutter being out, because normally he would anchor that fourth line.
Right.
I'm not too worried. At least now we do have some depth to actually move guys around in the lineup. I wouldn't expect, obviously this is, you know, water is wet, but I wouldn't expect Alex Chiasson to, or however you pronounce his last name, to stick on the top line there. I'm excited. Like we just have a lot of well-rounded offensive depth this year.
Do you know what I'm happy about? I'm happy that preseason's over, that we don't have anyone named Burrows on our team anymore. That was too much, man.
that was really messing me up too.
Yeah.
That was really messing me up. The wish.com Burrows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
That was really messing me up too.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, power play. So again, power play here, we have Chase on, but imagine that's Besser.
Mm-hmm.
Horvat in the middle with Elias Pettersson on the right, Quinn Hughes and JT Miller on the points.
Mm-hmm.
That is savage.
Yeah.
And then your second unit, you have Dickinson, Höglander, Pearson, Garland, and OEL. I mean, that's a phenomenal 1-2 punch as well. You know, if we don't get it done on the first unit, there's a good chance that second unit's coming with some power.
Yeah, that is. And again, I think, you know, a lot of guys kind of dog the Ekman-Larsson contract and the move that when it came over, but you know, having those two power play anchors, I think, are going to be huge as far as adding an actual threat on that second PP unit, because, you know, we haven't had much of that in the past few years. So mm-hmm. to actually have a threat to set up and command the second power play unit, I think, is going to be massive. I mean, I don't think that can be overlooked this year.
Yeah, no, definitely. And so where do you think the Canucks finish in the division? Do we agree that Vegas Edmonton goes 1-2? Are you with the analysts on that?
You know what? There's so much I think that goes into Edmonton finishing second. I think I have Vegas finishing first just because of what they've done during their entire tenure in the NHL. But that loss of Marc-Andre Fleury is going to be huge. Like when they have Robin Lehner and now Lawrence Brossoit backing him up like that, that is like night and day different from having Fleury and Lehner as your two-headed monster in goal, right? So I think that Vegas is going to take a little bit of a step back this year. Edmonton, I'm always curious, like with Mike Smith being, what, 40 or 41 this year? Like, mind you, playing with Rick Tocchet again as his head coach, having them reunited, like, that'll be interesting to see this year. But yeah. I have the Canucks finishing second in the Pacific, making the playoffs this year. I just have a feeling that, I mean, I don't know. Edmonton's got Darnell Nurse. They've got Tyson Barrie, who's offensively dynamic, but not great defensively. They do have Duncan Keith now, but again, pretty old. He may be able to bring some veteran savvy to that defensive end, but I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in Edmonton, to be honest, like apart from obviously the big guns in Draisaitl and McJesus, but I don't know. I personally, I think it's going to be Vegas, Vancouver, Edmonton. I don't think, I think you're going to see five teams from the Central making the playoffs this year, just because it's a, it's arguably a stronger division. But I do think that the Kings are going to be taking steps forward this year. And then I don't know what people are smoking and picking Seattle to be making the playoffs this year. Like, they're going to be solid defensively, but I don't know who's going to score goals for them.
Yeah, I'm looking at another one here. Seattle finishing third, Canucks fourth.
Yeah.
It looks like they have Jordan Eberle being their top scorer.
Yeah, I mean, he could be. Eberle's decent, but I mean, yeah, I don't know. When you've got, you know, you've got the likes of Jared McCann being your 1C in Seattle, you've got William Karlsson in Vegas, you've got Connor McDavid in Edmonton, and you've got Elias Pettersson in Vancouver, and then you slot in Jared McCann against those guys. Like, yeah. I don't know. To me, I just have a feeling. I think that Vancouver's overall forward depth is going to trump Edmonton's top heavy offense. Obviously, McDavid could get, I don't know, 120, 130 points this year. Who knows? The sky's the limit on that guy. But I think that Vancouver's going to do it by committee. And that's the way I see it anyway. I think it's going to be Vegas, Vancouver, Edmonton out of the Pacific.
That's fair. Let's not forget that Seattle could have one of the best goalie tandems in the NHL, you know?
Yeah, they could. Yeah, they could
hold a lot of weight. I mean, their blue line is okay as well. I feel like they went from a goalie out look, you know.
Oh, they definitely agree.
They definitely wanted to fill their net and move out from there. So, but as you say, scoring is a huge issue. And then, yeah, like, Edmonton's kind of total opposite, isn't it? They're a lot heavy up front and not so much in the back. And Vancouver kind of falls into that category as well. I think we don't really know. I mean, we've seen brilliance from Demko.
Yeah.
And we do have Halak now as well.
Yep.
Which will help, but that's not, I'm not like overconfident in that goaltending tandem. I love Demko. Obviously, I'm a huge fan, and I think he will be a great starting goaltender. Whether he's there yet, we just don't know.
Yep.
We do know that our blue line is not the best in the league, not even close.
Yeah, you know, that losing Hamonic on the second pairing with Hughes, I think, is going to be tough. I mean, right now, again, I just pulled up Daily Faceoff again. They've got OEL and Myers, which I think is a solid. That's a top four pairing. Quinn Hughes and Poolman. I would have much better liked Quinn Hughes and Hamonic. To be fair, in that top four. But
then Poolman and Shen.
Yeah, Poolman. And then they're showing right now in the third pairing, Brad Hunt and Luke Shen. I wouldn't be surprised if that turns into Jack Rathbone and Luke Shen pretty quickly. But I mean, that would give us really a dynamic offensive punch on all three defensive pairings from the left-hand side. Do you really need that offensive pairing in the third pair? I don't think so. But
yeah.
But I don't know. It's going to be interesting this year, man. Like, I'm with you on saying that our defense might be a little bit weaker, especially kind of that 4-5-6 slot. I think we're pretty good. 1-2-3 OEL, Quinn Hughes, and Myers. I think those are top four defensemen on just about any team in the league. Yeah. But, you know, Poolman filling out that top four is a little bit weak. But also touching back on what you'd said with Halak and net, like, I really like that him as a backup goalie there. He's used to playing the backup role. He's not going to expect to take the bulk of the games, you know, playing for the last number of years behind what's his name, Rask in Boston. Like, he's good at fill-in games, and there is a different mentality to that too with backup goalies, like, where they don't need to be game in, game out every day in order to kind of keep that edge. He knows how to play that game when he has to come in, and I think that's going to be huge this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I know you mentioned earlier as well that you wouldn't be surprised if LA made some moves. Now, that's the word. That's the buzz that keeps going around, right?
Yep.
I like the young talent in LA. Obviously, they still have Drew Doughty. Didn't they bring in Victor Arvidsson as well?
They did, yeah. And I think that's a sneaky acquisition out of Nashville as well. Like, I personally, I love LA. Not just, I don't just mean for this year. I just like that team. I like the way that they've always played. I like that build. But yeah, I like Victor Arvidsson as a pickup. They also, you know, you can't forget Alex Edler there on the blue line too, to try to bolster that D. you know, the Quinton Byfield loss is going to be tough.
Huge.
That's very big. But again, like, and I think that the Philip Deneau contract is crazy, right? What is it? 6 times 5 or 6 times 6, 5 times 6, something like that. Anyway,
yeah,
it's a lot of money to be paying a guy who doesn't have much offensive output. But I think that the amount that could free up Anze Kopitar is going to be huge. Like, because Kopitar, I mean, he's essentially like a Selke candidate every year, right? Him and Bergeron out of Boston. And if you're able to free Kopitar up to take more offensive draws, to be more of an offensive minded player, something that he's very good at, I think that's going to pay a lot more dividends than people may think this year.
Yeah. So where do you think they finish? Do you think they finish middle of the pack? Are they closer to a playoff spot? Do they beat out Calgary?
I think they're going to beat out Calgary. Calgary is I honestly don't know what to make of Calgary. I mean, they've done a good job at picking up everything that the Canucks put down.
Yeah.
you know, like seriously, yeah. But I have a hard time pegging what Calgary is going to be, because, you know, does Johnny Gaudreau get traded this year? There's a lot of talk around that. I mean, there was a lot of talk around that last year. Does Sean Monahan go? Do they blow up that core? Like there's so much talk around Calgary. You know, I wouldn't be surprised seeing them challenging for a playoff spot or being dead last in the Pacific, to be honest, depending on how this season goes. I have no idea what to expect out of Calgary.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they lost their longtime captain.
Yep.
Their back end, it doesn't look great. And you know, and they have to face talents like McDavid, Draisaitl, Pettersson, and Besser all year.
Yep.
You know, they'll be getting peppered basically, but it's a good thing they do have a good goalie. I'll give them that. If Marky can stay healthy,
there's the key.
If Marky can stay healthy, it gives Calgary a shot.
Do you know? Yeah, and who do they have in backup right now? Did they pick up Vladar? Was it them who signed? Oh, okay. I'm pretty sure
that Daily Faceoff here.
Yeah, I have a feeling that they picked up Vladar out of Boston. Who again is a little bit of an anomaly. So I don't know if you'd want to hand the reins over to him.
Yeah.
I better start. Okay. So yeah, I don't know if you want to hand the reins over to him if Markstrom does get injured. So, and Markstrom, I mean, we know as Vancouver fans that he doesn't make a full season. So yeah. they are going to deal with injuries at some point this year. And that could really be an Achilles heel or one of many on Calgary. I don't think we need to talk about Anaheim or San Jose being.
No, I don't think so. I mean, they're kind of dead in the water, aren't they? They're just floating, doing their thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think especially San Jose, like Anaheim at least has some pieces and they're kind of building to that future. San Jose, they reigned at the top of, you know, the Pacific Division for a long time. And now they are, I don't know what they're doing. Like they've got so much money tied up in that back end. They've got, that team, you know, I feel for San Jose fans a little bit.
Yeah. Not as much as I feel for Buffalo fans, but I feel for
fans. God, no. I think you made a good point with Seattle though, as far as them building from the back end out.
Yeah.
I do like their defensive core. Actually, yeah. I think they've got a lot of pieces there. I would be wary of Grubauer only because, you know, I mean, he was the backup in Washington, ended up getting shuttled over. And then, I mean, Colorado, they have been a bit of a wagon for the past couple of years, right? Like they've really started to pick it up. I don't know. I think this year is going to be a real good test for Grubauer. See what he really, really can do.
Yeah.
But I personally, I'm not sold on him yet.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I like, well, he won a Stanley Cup as a backup goalie, but still he's got the experience. He knows what it's like to get there as a team.
That's true.
And I do like Driedger.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah. So even if Grubauer doesn't really, you know, if he has an off day or whatever, they might even split, you know, mm-hmm. That's probably what I would do, to be honest.
Yeah, especially in an Olympic year too. I think that's one kind of wrench that we've all got to think about. I think that you're going to see a lot closer splits between goalies this year just because of the compact schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, I guess we can both just agree that Vegas is the wagon, I think. And Vancouver, I'd say you said second Vancouver.
I think second. Yeah.
I'd love to think that as well. I'd love to think first. Fuck it. I'll put my chips in Vancouver, top of the division.
I'll say it first. Good, good.
As we're done here. Yeah. You guys heard it here first on Puck and Flamingo.
There we go. I like it. I love that.
Anyways. Yeah. So that's predictions. It is my understanding, Zach, that you watched the first episode. Did you watch episode one, or how many episodes did you get through?
Only one. I'm trying to keep it to one a week so that I don't get lost in them.
Dude, amen. I turned it on and I said to Julie, I was like, oh God, I turned it on today because I wanted it to be fresh. And I was like, I pray that this is 30 minutes or less. I said to Julie, I was like, it's gonna be like 25 minutes, guaranteed. Like they probably play it on CBC, so it's like, you know, 30 minute episode plus commercials. It won't run longer than 24 minutes.
Yeah.
Fucking 48 minutes.
Oh yeah.
Sit through that shit.
Oh man. Well, I think we were even talking in the group chat, like my favorite part about that, and I only realized it probably about like 30 minutes through that first episode, that like these idiots, everybody involved, thought they were filming a championship run from game one to the Stanley Cup final. None of them had in their minds that these absolute morons were going to clunk out in the first round of game seven to Montreal. Like that is my favorite part. And now that I'm going to watch one episode a week, that's what I'm going to just keep in mind, is that all these guys the whole way through are thinking, oh, these guys have got it. This is their year. Only for them to clunk out after leading the series 3-1 against Montreal. Like that's the best part of it.
Sorry. I got ahead of myself there, just so the listeners know, if you missed last week, we're watching All or Nothing. And Zach, as Zach said last time, emphasis on the nothing. It is it's an Amazon Prime. Is it exclusive? It is exclusive, isn't it?
It is Amazon exclusive. Prime. Yeah.
Yeah. About the glorious Toronto Maple Leafs. And it's so funny, man. Like when you start, like you say that everyone thinks they're going to be part of this great club. And even the fans, like when they're holding up the signs with the years, they're like, depressed. Like it says 7 years since they've won a playoff series, 17 years since blah blah blah, you know.
Oh, yeah.
52 years since they won a Stanley Cup. And you know what, man? I swear to God, if the Toronto Maple Leafs win a Stanley Cup in the next couple of years, the NHL's rigged and I fucking know it.
I'm with you, man. I am with you. That team, you know what? My one favorite part of that episode though was watching Joe Thornton as he's driving in his Porsche listening to Brian Burke shred him on the radio. I laughed so hard at that part. Mainly like Joe Thornton seems like an absolute beauty, right? Like so to see that was pretty funny. I will say too, one person who I actually don't hate as much anymore is Sheldon Keefe. Like that guy swears like a sailor. Holy shit.
He's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? And it sucks for me to say this out loud. It hurts my soul, but I wouldn't be upset if Toronto won a Stanley Cup just for the fact of Joe Thornton. I think he deserves one.
Oh, well, let's cheer for Florida this year then, because he's on Florida. I could see Florida lifting a cup this year with Joe Thornton finally raising it above his head. Anybody but Toronto.
Yeah. Anybody. That's right. Sorry, I'm behind the times. I'm still caught up in that episode.
Oh, I don't blame you.
I forgot he left.
I don't blame it. He's back to wearing his familiar number 19 down in Florida.
Yeah, sorry, but the Steven's gonna grill me for that. I just pulled a Bartel.
Well, at least you pronounced his name right. You didn't say Thornton.
What was I gonna say? Fuck, I just lost it.
Oh, sorry, man.
Joe Thornton. No, it's okay. How many people they drew it? But that's because every fucking good hockey player in Canada comes from Ontario. You know what I mean? Like they all come from Ontario. So they all flock to Toronto. Like how many of those guys were hometown people? Both Dubas is and how do you say the coach's name? Keefe.
Yeah. Sheldon Keefe. Yep.
Yeah. So they're from the area, right? Shanahan, he's from the area. Fucking the only one who's not is Matthews, to be honest. Tavares, yep. Joe Thornton, you know.
Like, yep, Marner. You're right. When you pointed that out too, I was like, oh my God, that's all this is like a hometown heroes thing. Like they're just pointing out all these hometown guys. But yeah, I mean, whatever, good for them. But then, you know, it's not like they took any hometown discounts. So how much do they really want them to win?
That's true.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm enjoying it though, just from that sheer fact alone that you can just tell the way that they're filming it and everything that they thought they had something special. They didn't.
I you know what I think, man, like I'm saying, if Toronto wins the Stanley Cup, I know the NHL's rigged because they're setting this up like it's fucking Hollywood. You know, all these people are going to watch it, feel so sorry for Toronto. And then the next playoff run, everyone across the country is going to be watching because the Amazon Prime Video, they're all going to be going for Toronto. It's going to bring in so much money. Oh, if it happens, I'll be devastated.
Me too. I might boycott the NHL the year after that because, I mean, we already get way too much Toronto media coverage being on the West Coast. I could not handle it, honestly. Oh. The one thing that drives me the most nuts is seeing the Canada's team banner. Like, fuck off. We don't have Canada's team. There's nobody who hates other Canadian teams more than the other Canadian teams fans.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Seriously, I remember when Vancouver in 2011, it was like Vancouver and a portion of maybe Alberta who were like, yeah, go Canucks, go. The rest of Canada was cheering for Boston. Everybody was cheering for Boston. Like, that's the way it is in Canada. There is no Canada's team. We hate each other more than anybody.
Yeah, it's true. You can only say that about baseball and basketball, really.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, I agree.
Because we only have one team.
Exactly. So then it makes sense.
Unfortunately, they're both in Toronto, but that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, that is the way it goes. But
I think we should be Mariners fans out here. I don't know why everyone goes for the Blue Jays. It's just because of that one playoff run.
Well, I'll admit, I got swept up into that too. I was away at camp mining, and I was watching those postseason games every night too. But I'm not a huge baseball fan.
Me too. That's interesting. I was in camp during that as well. That's how I got into baseball too. I was watching. Well, I'm not really into baseball, but I watched my first full game.
Yeah, that was the same as me in 2015. And now, like, I'll watch full season. Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool. That was that was one of those, like, hallmark moments. But
I actually jumped out of my chair for baseball. I couldn't believe it.
I was the same way, man, jumping in my bunk bed. But, you're right, though, about baseball and, to an extent, basketball. I'm just not a basketball fan. But, totally, man.
Yeah. Well, anyways, bottom line, fuck Toronto. Episode two next week, guys. we'll come with more chirps, more, I think. But didn't Toronto finish first in the league? So we got to watch them win for a little while. Definitely in the north, right?
Oh, yeah. In the north, to be honest. In the north, they did. Vancouver real clunked out after our COVID pandemic there. But you know what? We all know how it ends, and so we can all kind of go through with a smile on our face.
That's true. Yeah, good point. I love how ironic it is too. Like the guy, the announcer knows it. Like the commentator, the narrator.
Yeah.
He says, like, what do you say? He's like, I'm bringing someone who works so hard, like John Tavares, a hometown boy, into the organization. Surely this means a Stanley Cup, right?
Please. They might as well have said please, showing him in his pajamas again. Please get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh well, man.
All right. Anyways, thanks, buddy. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for listening, everyone. We're gonna try get Steven on. We'll see what that bum's doing. See if he's got time.
What'd he say? He fell asleep or something?
No, he got caught up in work. He bit off more than he could chew, he said.
Oh yeah, no, that's all good. Yeah, it's always fun having him on here too, because he's the real curmudgeon of the group, so the real Don Cherry. It makes for a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's no like disagreements today. But we need Steve for that.
We do. It gets boring when we just agree with each other for everything.
I know.
But no, it's a next week, and hopefully you can stitch him in at the end here, maybe. Tell him I chirped him about his pronunciation of Thornton or whatever. Maybe get him fired up a little bit, get him to pass him back.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe if you're listening, I'm going to say goodbye now. But if you see on your little bar there that this goes longer than now, you know Steve's in and he's gonna be chirping Zach. So
perfect. All right, man. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on, buddy. Everybody, thanks for listening. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, your favorite podcasting platform at Puck and Flamingo. I'm Andrew. This is Zach. Thanks again. We'll see you next week.
See ya.